Well, we've got a question. It's from Charles Buckton, and he says, "Hello, I heard that there's a huge mass of plastic waste in the Northwest Pacific. Do we know anything about this? I mean, what's the story with plastic pollution in the sea?"
Well, I'm sure Annalise will back me up here as well, even though she is a coral person. But
I can talk about plastic.
Plastic waste
in the
sea is a very, very huge problem. Plastic waste generally, but in the sea particularly, isn't that right?
Yes, absolutely. And I've been very lucky in that I've worked on a lot of uninhabited islands. And it's really, really evident when you go to these uninhabited islands, the amount of plastic waste that must be floating around the world's oceans, because all the beaches are just covered in bits of plastic and always flip-flops. My friend
flip-flops.
And I actually have a bit of a joke about this thing when we were working in the Seychelles together, and we went to lots of uninhabited islands, and on every different island there were flip-flops, loads of flip-flops.
Pairs or just odd ones?
Odd ones. Now there's actually a friend of a friend in the Seychelles who has started doing some flip-flop art, and she takes all different shades of one colour and does a collage with flip-flops and sells them.
Fantastic. Well, anyway, but on a more serious note, yes, plastic waste is a huge problem. I don't know in terms of this particular one in the Pacific Northwest that this...
There are going to be some areas where ocean circulation will obviously bring together plastic in certain areas. I mean, I think that's all we can say. We don't know about the specific example.
That's right. I mean, but on a kind of positive note, that when there's things like containers that burst at sea, and I think there's things like rubber ducks, aren't there, that
I've
get let off.
I've heard about rubber ducks floating around the world's oceans.
And then you can actually track where the currents are going, because they're taking the rubber ducks along with the ocean currents, and that's one way of studying it, strangely. So that, you know, in some ways we can get something good out of it, but there is a real problem with too much plastic waste ending up in the oceans. But Annalise, you started telling us a little just now about your wonderful times overseas, and we did promise a short description of your studying the coral reefs from the air. Now, what is that all about? How can you study something underwater while looking at it from a long way above?
Yeah, well, this is a very clever technique really that's been developed, and on my last two expeditions we were employing a sensor called a compact airborne spectrographic imager.
I think it's a posh digital camera, isn't
it? CASSIE for short. And essentially it's a passive sensor that is fixed onto a seaplane and flown over an area of interest, and it records the amount of light reflected from different things on the seabed. So it can tell you what's coral, what's algae, what's seagrass, but it doesn't actually tell you what it is. You need some divers in the water at the time.
So you still have to be there in the water.
You still have to be there, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you go out and do your dives with your GPS, and then you basically collect data to calibrate the data that's collected from the aeroplane.
And I guess that way you get a lot more information than you would if you were just
diving
on its own.
You can get a huge amount of data. I mean, we collected recently on a 3-week expedition, we collected 2,700 square kilometres of data.
That's an awful lot.
Which is unheard of if you were just diving.
That's fantastic. Well, I can imagine this must be a very exciting job for you. And I hope anyone wants to find out more about the Living Oceans Foundation, then go to their website, which we have linked from our website, I think. But is it livingoceansfoundation.org?
Yes, it's livingoceansfoundation.org. Yes.
Yeah, so you can find out more about all the wonderful things that Annalise does.
Well, that's about all we've got time for this week. On next week's show, we're going to be investigating the secrets in our genes with population geneticists Turi King and Bruce Winnie. We'll be asking, where did we come from? How do our genes make us who we are? Who were our ancestors? And how do we use genetics to track them down? And we'll also be joined by Mike Majeris from Cambridge University to find out what insect genes can tell us about our environment. All will be revealed on The Naked Scientist next week. So if you've got any questions about genes and genetics for our experts, then email us at chris@thenakedscientist.com. And if you want to take part in next week's kitchen science, then all you need is 3 jam jars, one full of jam, one full of water, and one full of air.
I think that just remains for me to say a huge thank you to our guests this week, Annalise Hagen and Stan Harpole, and to our co-presenter Kat and Petro, who's been doing a fantastic job on the desk there. And just to remind you that you can also listen to the Nature podcast, which will give you a rundown of the latest studies in that journal. And that's www.nature.com/nature/podcast. And of course, we've also got our new whizzy, bangy website ourselves. That's the Naked Scientist website. You can go on our forum. You can download podcasts. If you're listening on a podcast, you've already done that. But anyway, go and have a look. It's all fantastic. And remember to have a listen to us again next week. Thanks very much for listening.